Let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this evening's service. Heavenly Father, Lord, pour out your Spirit tonight, O God. Lord, you said we're two or more gathered in your name, that you're here in the midst of us. Lord, we know that you're here tonight. Lord, we're expecting to receive something from you, Lord and God. Father God, walk up and down these aisles. Touch people's hearts. Touch people's souls, O Lord and God. Lift us up on higher ground. Lord, strengthen us, O Lord and God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.
We have to leave town this evening because we're going out to West Virginia for a deposition that we're going, we're going to trial in Memphis. So everybody has to get in prayer. We've got a long trip ahead of us, so we're just going to cut it short tonight.
Do we have some letters to read? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Our first one comes from Wenchi in Brongahafo. It reads, Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, by the blessing of our omnipotent God, I have the great opportunity to write you this letter. I hope by the grace of our Lord Jesus everything is going on smoothly. I am very sober to the word of God, and whenever I hear our Lord Jesus' name is proclaimed in any place, I will go there and listen to it. It was one sunny Saturday that I decided to go to a nearby village, and on the way, I reached a place where a number of people had gathered, and they were all listening to a speech from a cassette recorder. When I drew near to it, I found out it was a preaching cassette, and I inquired from them where they got it from, and they gave me your address. Please, I am very much interested in our Lord Jesus, so I'll be very glad if you could afford to send me some of your cassettes which contain your messages. My sincere greetings to you and the rest of your family and the brethren of your church. Yours in Christ, S.B. from Wenchi, Ghana. Next one comes from the United States. It reads, Dear Pastor Alamo, my name is J.L., and I'm a member of the Church of Faith in Jesus Christ. And I was reading the literature that you distribute. I am interested not only in reading it, but also in distributing it also, if you allow me. I hope to receive some answer from you, and the Lord Jesus Christ prosper the work that you are doing. I am in the best disposition of helping you to distribute the literature that you provide me, and in that way to contribute to the blessed work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God bless you, your brother in Christ, J.L. from Monahans, Texas. The last one comes from Zambia. It reads, Dear Pastor Alamo, I greet you in the name of our soon-coming Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I received your free literature, which was sent to me in Gambia, and it has been received in good condition. I found the messages to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I am praying for you in the name of the Almighty God that He would double your years to make this message reach the entire world in order to warn people about the false doctrines which are being preached by the beast today. I am asking you in the name of Jesus to send me more of your literature to distribute to the various places in the province. I hope and trust you can do this, and if so, I will be most happy because then all of your literature will reach even the most remote areas. May the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be with you always. Your brother in Christ, Brother W.C. from Sawizi, Zambia. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Do we have a couple of testimonies here this evening? Something that the Lord is wanting to say through you? Anybody? Okay, praise the Lord.
I want to testify of a healing that I received. I have this illness that I seem to get a lot, and I've been hospitalized with it before, and it's a real bad thing that it just escalates once it hits, and the next thing you know, you've got 104, and I really didn't want to go to the doctor, and last time I had it, I was healed, and then it started to come back, and I asked Tony to pray over me, and it went away again. And yesterday morning, I woke up, and I was very sick all day long. I was very ill, and I started to get a fever, and I was aching all over. And I asked Tony if he would pray over me. I knew he was out of time, and he had to go, and he said, you pray for yourself. And I went home, and I did just that, and I touched the throne, and I got a healing, and I'm very thankful. I feel wonderful, and I'm healed. Praise the Lord.
I just want to really thank the Lord that I wasn't worthy of the salvation He gave, but He took the time out for a little nobody like me, and He took the time to reveal Himself to me and make Himself known in such a way that I was amazed, and I started looking for the Lord's church. I went to different buildings that said they were churches, and they didn't tell me the gospel. I didn't hear the gospel. It didn't reach into my heart, and it didn't strike home to me. But the Lord had revealed Himself to me in such a powerful way that I knew that he was so real that he was letting me know I was a sinner and I was going to die without him. If I didn't get right with him, I was surely going to perish. And when I was looking everywhere, and it seemed like everywhere I looked, I couldn't find the Lord, that's when he sent a witnesser to me and gave me a track and brought me by the services over in California. And I gave my heart to Jesus that night. I gave my heart to God the Father. He changed my life in an instant. And since then, it's been a wonderful walk following the Lord. Yes, I've had to take my growing. I had to learn my correction about certain things. And the Lord is so good because he gave it to me. And I'm so thankful because I'm still here. And he just healed me recently of a terrible accident that I was in. And I remember a lot of accidents I've been in before where I remember all the pain and everything. And in this accident, it was a very bad accident. But the only thing I remember is after a month of not being there, I was with amnesia for about a month. I just remember getting up and wondering what I was doing in a hospital, and I felt fine. And then I heard that the pastor had been praying over me, and I got some letters from the brothers and sisters in the church, and I was so happy because I'm a part of something that's doing something for God, and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father comes down and does miraculous things, and he did something for me, and I thank God for my salvation.
Praise the Lord. I'm very happy to hear all the different people all over the world, and here in the United States, you know, so many people talk of the things that they're doing overseas, but the things that are happening right here, too. And that's what, you know, the evidence of the work's reach is happening here. I'm sure everybody loves to hear the testimony of others that are receiving Christ and the revival is going on everywhere, and we love to hear the testimonies of the brothers and sisters right here in the church. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we all need to learn how to get a hold of the Lord ourselves, because the Lord has called us. Each one of us is a church, and in us is the seven candles. So that's what he wants. It's the seven candles, the fullness of the scriptures, the word of God in us. We got to learn to get a hold of the Lord immediately and to stay a hold of him. It's got to be that river of life flowing from the throne of God through the temple, which is us. I brought a message on that once before, but the Lord wanted me to bring that message tonight in a more fuller way. And so I've written up, I guess, around 20, 25 pages tonight, been almost all day putting it together. And so we're going to have Sharon and Angel come up, and we'll start reading right away. This is one of the most important messages in the entire universe, this message. This, when it's received, will really give you so much power, spiritual power from God. Amen? And there was something that wasn't received from it before, and we'll find out what it is today because we're going to elaborate on it as much as possible. Okay?
The Millennium, Revelation 20, 1 through 6.
Now this is, I guess there's hundreds of different doctrines on the millennium, but the Bible plainly tells of what the millennium is. The millennium is the kingdom age. Amen? The kingdom age where the Lord reigns. Amen? And the Bible says that we reign with him. It says that the apostles reign with him, and then the disciples, and then those who were beheaded for the gospel reign with him. There's all kinds of different people that reign with him in different time segments. And a lot of this is symbolic in the Bible, and it really needs to be studied. But when it's broken down, it's easy to receive. And so let's just go on and read some more.
If the plagues are soon to begin, it's most important to be perfectly set straight on sound doctrine. It doesn't say in the Bible that we will reign with Jesus on earth 1,000 years.
No, it doesn't. Where in the Bible does it say that we're going to reign with Jesus 1,000 years on this earth? You show that to me in the Bible and I'll eat it without salt and pepper. Read it from the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, where it says we'll reign with Jesus 1,000 years on earth. And where does it say in a temple in Jerusalem and that with the Jews? It doesn't say that at all, and that's what people are preaching today, and that's out and out heresy. And why should people even mention such things as that when it doesn't say that in the Bible? Amen?
Yeah.
You know, people taught me stuff like that, you know, when I was first saved. And you start reading the Bible, it doesn't say that, does it?
No.
Huh? No, it's like this. Yes, it's like that. Okay. Does it?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, then what?
It doesn't say in the Bible that we will reign with Jesus on earth 1,000 years, or that he will be in a temple in Jerusalem reigning.
Yes, first of all, let me explain something. No king has ever reigned in a temple in Jerusalem. Have they? No, the temple is for sacrifices. It's a bloody mess in those temples. And I mean, there's never been no throne inside of the temple. Is there? No. It's a place for worship and sacrifices. Amen? To minister the word of God. And so there's no throne, and so Jesus isn't going to go into the temple. And people are saying that there's a temple being built over there. Well, when you go there, you'll see that what they're talking about, these heretics over here, is it's just a plain old synagogue. It's a big one. But there's no place there for sacrificing. And, of course, any kind of sacrificing of animals anymore would be a nullification of Calvary, and it would be blasphemous because the animal sacrifices were over when Jesus came. And this 4-inch veil of sheepskin, which veiled off the most holy place, was rent right down the center when Jesus died on the cross, which was symbolic that the earthly priesthood, that is, of sacrificing animals, was all over. There's no need to sacrifice animals anymore because they were just shadows of that which was to come, figures or a type. And when, of course, God sent the real sacrifice, his sacrifice for our sins, which was his son, it's impossible for the blood of bulls or goats to take away sins. It's the blood of God himself, God's only begotten son, who is God, the express image and likeness of him, that takes away the sin off of our soul. And by faith, when people were offering up those sacrifices, they were having faith in God's sacrifice that was to come. And now that we're looking back at Calvary, approximately 2,000 years, we're looking back by faith, and we have more scripture to prove that without a doubt the true sacrifice is come. And of course, because of the fact that John the Baptist, who was here in the spirit of Elijah, didn't testify that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and all Israel was waiting for him and thought it was the right time for him to come, that made him to believe that Christ really wasn't the Messiah. And up to this very day, they're still waiting for the Messiah, because if he would have told them, if John would have told them that he was Elijah, then perhaps the world would be much different now. But it weakened the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he raised people from the dead, and even though he ascended and conquered death, hell, and the grave, a lot of those people might have believed if John would have just testified. A lot of people feel that if they say who they are, that they're bragging. In the case of the scriptures, though, it isn't that way. People need to know, because people are studying prophecy. The whole world is studying prophecy right now. And they've all heard of the mark of the beast. And they've all heard of the Antichrist. And they've all heard of 666. And so they're waiting for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are certain signs in the Bible that talk about these things that would happen just before Christ comes back to earth this time. And we can't shackle the Word of God and not let people know where we stand, where they stand, because after all, Christ died for every single person on earth. And if we shackle the Word of God, we're afraid to speak up, well, then those souls will be lost forevermore. Some of them. Maybe a whole lot of them. All right, let's continue on.
Temples are or never have been set up for kings to reign in, but have always been for sacrifice and worship. That is the sacrifice of animals for burnt offerings and for the forgiveness of sins. Atonement through the blood of animals, which symbolized for the Old Testament time the future blood of Jesus, which would be shed for the cleansing away of the sins of the souls in the world who would enter into the contingent agreement between themselves and the living God himself.
The contingent covenant between God and us. Amen. Then what?
There has never been a throne in the temple where these sacrificial services took place. In the temple was bloody animals.
Right. See, in the palace you have thrones, but not in the temple. Okay, then what?
Death of others to take the place of sinners. God first sent animals to take our place till Christ entered into the world. Then the animal sacrificial services were over. The man-made temple was over because they were only visible types or clumsy models of the real, true sacrifice and temple which now has come. The true sacrifice was Jesus, and we are to do likewise, and the true temple is Christ's body, and our bodies for him by the Spirit to live in. Christ's reign does not take place from a temple building in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem they have the palace and the temple. Kings reign in the palace, not the temple. Modern preachers have Jesus reigning from a temple in Jerusalem for 1,000 years with those who have been beheaded for the cause of the gospel. In the Bible, there is a great difference made between Jews and Israel.
Right. The Jewish people are not necessarily Israel. Israel are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
In the sacrifice, in the Messiah, the Savior, okay, the Redeemer. Then what?
So when God gathers Israel, true Jews like Abraham, these are those who are the faithful believers in Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. Elijah had come and caused many Jews to doubt the authenticity of Jesus' messiahship by him, John, saying he wasn't Elijah. All Israel knew that before the Messiah should come, first Elijah would come. So when John denied himself to be Elijah, as the angel told his father, Zacharias, that he was, it caused the Jews to disbelieve that Jesus was, and still is, and always will be, the Messiah. Thus, to this day, Jews, foolishly, because of John's failure, are still waiting for the Messiah. Sacrifice is restored. Ezekiel 40:38-43.
No, that's a very long passage there, and it talks about, a lot of people misconstrue these scriptures here. It talks about Jerusalem after the Jews had been hauled off to Babylon, that Jerusalem would be rebuilt, and it did. It happened. And that the sacrifices would be restored, and that happened also. But that was before the Lord Jesus Christ came. That isn't today. That's already past these scriptures here. And you can read them later because we're short of time. Okay?
Then Daniel 11:31, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Okay, well, Daniel talks about where the Antichrist, this is talking about today, where you can go ahead and read that part again. We were reading it in the car, where it's stated that they'd take the sacrifice away. Okay, now in the last days, the sacrifice, of course, is our sacrificing of our own bodies by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And the Lord sets his throne up inside of us, literally. And he also sets the tree of life in us, literally. It's the symbolic of the Holy Spirit, or the Word of God, but it's literally, spiritually, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Okay, go ahead.
And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength.
Okay, they pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they're going to preach false doctrine to the people of the Lord, the sanctuary of strength, God's strength, where the Lord lives. Okay, then what?
And shall take away the daily sacrifice.
They'll stop praying. They will not allow people to pray in the last days. The daily sacrifice of praising the Lord and to be able to serve him, to pass out tracts and to do things like that. Then what?
And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate.
And they'll set up the one world government and tell you to worship that. Okay, so let's go on to the...
Okay. Yes. This has nothing to do, as far as a millennium, thousand-year reign on earth with Christ in Jerusalem, where he sits on a throne and gathers all the Jews instead of Israel unto himself.
There isn't any scripture to that. Did we read the 20th chapter of the Revelation? Okay, let's read that. Yeah, we were going to do that. Let's read that so you can see that it doesn't say there that he's going to reign with us on earth or we're going to reign with him on earth. He's going to set in a temple. The word on earth is not even mentioned there. Okay, go ahead.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
Okay, obviously it's not a literal chain, right? Because you can't bind spiritual beings with physical chains. You just can't do that. This is a spiritual, the Word of God is binding him. Okay, then what?
And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them.
Okay, right there it says thrones, and they sat upon them. Who are they talking about? I'll read it for you just a little bit later. Then this particular passage is talking about the apostles. And we'll read the scriptures from the, I think it's the 16th chapter of Matthew, later on, where it talks about where Jesus stated that they would sit on the thrones and judge Israel. So it isn't going to be Israel judging us. It's going to be the born-again Christians, the apostles, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen? The Jews. So everybody's getting it kind of twisted around, isn't it? And what?
And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their right hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ.
They lived and reigned. Does it say on earth? No, they just lived and reigned with Christ. A what?
1,000 years.
And there's no such thing as a in the Greek. There's no figure such as that in the Greek language. They say, I saw goat. I saw lamb with two horns. It doesn't say a lamb. There's no such thing as a. So it says there are 1,000, and there's one word for multitudes of thousands, and there's it's plural. And in this particular place here, the word that they use, the Greeks, is plural. It's forevermore. Okay, then what? And that reign begins when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But he's on the throne, and we're in the throne there with him also. And I'm going to show you that through the scriptures in just a few minutes. Okay, then what? That's wonderful to know, isn't it?
Amen.
So we're living in the kingdom age right now. Okay, he quickened us and resurrected us from death unto life, didn't he? Amen. So keep that in mind. If that's scriptural, then what?
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished.
Okay, so the rest of the dead. So there's all kinds of things going on. You've got judgments and thrones and people living now and people living with Christ then, because they're never going to die. The Lord says, he that believeth in me, though he is dead, he never is going to die. Amen. He lives, right? So this is a very supernatural pass right here in the scripture, and that needs to be broken down more fully. But this is like the apostles, and then also those that died in the Great War during the time of Nero, where they threw people to the lions that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tortured them to death and burned them at the stake. There's many of those type of people, and those that were beheaded for the gospel, and they're living and reigning with Christ now too. Amen? And then, who else is going to reign with Christ?
We will if we continue.
Well, no, all those who suffer with Christ shall reign with Christ. Amen? So that means everyone that suffers with him. That doesn't mean if you got a cold or the sniffles or you got out of bed this morning. I know that's rough. But I'm talking about suffering for Christ. All right, praise the Lord.
This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Okay, that's A. There's no such thing. That's in Greek. It's myriad of thousands of years, forever. Either you're reigning with him or not. And if you're reigning with him now, and you go on into a higher level, which means you leave this body and go with your body's change, you'll reign with him forever. That's eternal life. That's what it means. Okay, then what?
God is not going to nullify salvation by allowing burnt sacrificial animal sacrifices to be instituted again.
No, so there's not going to be another temple, and Christ isn't going to sit there and watch animal sacrifices again, symbolic of him coming to die. He says, I died once, and I'm alive forevermore, and I'm not going to die again. Never again. I'm alive forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
You think that the Lord would condone that? That'd be blasphemy to have him sit in some temple and let him reinstitute sacrificial services again. It's false doctrine. Okay, then what?
This would nullify Calvary. Hebrews 10:4 states, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. These were shadows, figures, types, symbols, up till Christ, leading up to the cross of Jesus.
After yes, then when Jesus came, that ended it. Now, when the true sacrifice comes, there's no need to symbolize it anymore. You just need to believe on it. Amen? It was just telling us, here's what's going to happen, and somebody else's life is going to have to be taken. Even if you want your sins forgiven right now, get used to somebody having to die for you. This animal has to die for you in order for your sins to be forgiven. People can kind of relate to that when they see this animal going up on this table and then being slaughtered and then cut to pieces and thrown on an altar and then burnt and then taking some of its blood and sprinkling it or rubbing on these four horns of the altar and then pray and then incense and then the Shekinah glory and all these things. You get the picture when you see these things. Why are all these animals dying for your sins? Well, just think how horrible it is to hear them and to see him being killed, and then to see the Messiah, God himself, to come and have to die and shed his blood for us. Well, there's no need. Animals can't take that place anymore. He's come. There's no need for that. Okay, go ahead.
After the true sacrifice of God has come, God's offering of mercy extended to all mankind, it makes symbols of no effect. And if anyone would be so blasphemous to reinstitute blood sacrifices again, or rebuild a temple in Jerusalem again, it would infuriate God to wrath.
And also the temple, the first temple was King Solomon's temple, and the second temple was Zerubbabel's temple, that's what it's called. The second temple was not King Solomon's temple. And it's important that people know the Word of God, because, you know, if you don't know these, they say, well, what's so important about knowing, you know, that there wasn't a throne in the temple in Jerusalem? Because you might be witnessing to a Jew, and a Jew knows better than that. If you're telling them, well, they're going to build a temple and they're going to reign in there, they'll say, well, will they reign in a temple where the blood sacrifices are and everything? And you're going to throw their soul, because they're going to figure, as a matter of fact, Christians know so little about the Old Testament that they can't possibly effectively witness to a Jewish person and win their soul. They just laugh at you because, for instance, it states in the Old Testament, and this doesn't mean that people in this congregation, because we have the Spirit of the living God, but it talks in the Old Testament about them drinking wine, and there isn't hardly a Jew in this world that doesn't have a little wine cabinet in their house. And if you tell them they're going to go to hell for drinking a glass of wine, they're going to think you're crazy. And now this is, you're old enough in the Lord to hear this now. I've never really told this over the pulpit before. But now this is not condoning, as for sure, they don't, and I've never really ever seen a Jewish person, have you ever seen a Jewish person drunk? They drink just a little bit of it at a wedding. And some of them, I imagine, might be, you know, well drunken and so on and so forth, but it's rare to ever see a Jewish person drunk. They're not into that. I've never seen one that doesn't have a little wine cabinet. Does your mother and dad have one, Sharon?
Yes.
Do they think there's anything wrong with it?
No.
Does it say there's anything wrong with it in the Old or New Testament?
No.
No, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, it says, be not given to much wine. All right? And I'm not teaching this congregation, because we don't do that here. We don't drink wine here, do we?
No.
No, but I mean, if you were invited to a wedding, or if you were and somebody offered it to you, and you felt it might stumble their soul, and you just say, I don't drink. Amen? You don't have to say, oh, you know, that'll offend them. That's a good excuse just for people to go ahead and drink, because you may have to witness and testify to those people. And you could, some people do get drunk on just a little bit. I know that I get really, you know, if I, one time we were over at a house one time and I didn't know it, Sue and I, and it was at Ada and Fred San Antonio's house, some Italian people that we know in Hollywood, and she gave us some ice cream and it had some delicious cherry syrup on it. And I drank it, and my head started swimming a little bit. It was just a little bit, too. And it was cherry brandy. I says, what's in this? And like Susie says, I said, it tasted delicious, and I could not, for the life of me, it was so sweet, the ice cream, I couldn't taste any alcohol in it at all, but my head started spinning. Because I've never been able, even before I was saved, to take more than just a little bit. And, you know, that does it. And she says, it was just a little cherry brandy. I just put a jigger of it in there. I said, whoop. It really did me in.
And so some of us have a degree. We don't know what our level is and so on. You could be drunk, and the Bible says no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I wasn't drunk, but I got a little dizzy. I could still talk, but it was a little slurred, you know. And so I set it down. I didn't take the whole jigger full. All right, go ahead.
This would be the same as them saying that the blood of God, God's gift of mercy to this wicked world, is unacceptable for them, and that animals or their children burn in sin.
Born in sin.
Excuse me.
Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. My bad writing, not your fault.
And shaped in iniquity would be acceptable over the sinless one who has proven himself to be God by many infallible signs, wonders, word, and deed. The true temple of God is his people. His people make up the true tabernacle or temple of God. And Jesus lives in our midst.
So what they're talking about building a new temple, the building that they're talking about is us. Jesus even stated that. He says, you take this temple and destroy it, and he says, and I'll raise it up in 3 days, didn't he? And then it says right in the Bible that he was speaking of the temple of his body. This is the temple that he's talking about. This is the true temple. All the other temples were just symbolic of that temple in which God lives now. He sets up his tree of life in that temple, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When a person that's filled with God Almighty, filled with the Spirit of the living God, with Christ, with the throne, with the tree of life in there, and the river of life from the Ezekiel 47th chapter, it states that it comes right down from the throne of God, right through his temple, and out of the belly of his servants that serve him, that keep his commandments, is the river of life flowing right out of us to win people's souls. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, go ahead.
1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says almost the same words. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and collectively, God's people are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. God for centuries has been showing us this. God, when you are saved, is literally in you.
God, when you're saved, God Almighty is literally, spiritually in you. Not symbolically, he really in you. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Right there is the temple.
Right there is the temple of God, and it's being built more and more. Every time a soul gets saved and gets the word of life in them, and then there's this tree of life that issues out a different fruit every month. And it is so, I thought, this is really something, how the Lord told me to put out a new tract every month. Because if that tree of life is in you, and you're really studying the word of God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and doing everything that you can to seek him in prayer, that this tree of life will bring forth a new fruit every month, and it'll be, the leaves of it will be for the healing, the leaves, the tracts of it will be for the healing of the nations. Amen? That's exactly what that is. And he says, and his servants will serve him. Well, that isn't up in heaven, it's here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord.
He dwells in us. That's it. He made us, amen? We're not man-made, manufactured. We can't build a temple for him to live in. He built us, and he'll live in us. That's what gives him pleasure. I love this message, don't you?
Amen.
Boy, it's so spiritual. It just really almost makes me want to fly. Okay, then what?
But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
Amen. Then what?
Acts 17:24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands.
No, he dwells in us. We're the temple of God. That's the temple that the Bible's talking about.
in us is the throne of God, and I'll show you that in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation and the tree of life. It's talking about this temple. And this river of life is coming right down from the throne of God in the kingdom of heaven. It's right from the throne and flowing through his temple in which he lives. That's us. Amen. Praise the Lord. This will wake you up when you're listening to the tape, you know. Did you ever get those? I should muffle it, you know, when I do that. That way they can still cruise.
Where does Jesus dwell?
Where does he dwell, Jesus? Amen. Now you're getting it. Hey, then what's the thing?
1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Now back off. All right, go ahead.
1 Corinthians 6:19.
Very similar. Then what?
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Right, so I thought it was merited saying again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then what?
In your body as one with childlike faith of God, does the Holy Spirit dwell right now?
Right now, today, this very second, this minute, God Almighty is in you right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not in the future. Now. In the future too, but now. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Right now, this hour, this moment of this day. And all Christians of the remnant make up the true church, the body, the true temple of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in this temple of God. And the triune Godhead, Jesus, who has all power, dwells here right now. Not just the future, but at this very moment. I've mentioned the water coming out of the temple in Ezekiel 47:1-12, out of the side of the altar, a river that could not be passed over.
No, it can't be passed over. We need to have Christ in us to pass over that river, I mean, and to be in that river of life so that we can have life, right? We have to be totally submerged into it, filled with the Lord. Then what?
Ezekiel 47:6, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Ezekiel 47:12.
In order to get the fullness of this, you have to read the first 12 verses. Go ahead, just go ahead and read it.
Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house to eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles.
He waded out there about 1,000 cubits, and the water was at his ankles. And then he kept going and measured another 1,000 cubits. Go ahead.
Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees.
Came up to his knees when he started wading in there. Then what?
Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me, and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country.
Now, keep this in your mind, because then we're going to go right over to Revelation 22 and see where this exactly, you have to piece it together like a puzzle to where you can get the understanding of it. Because, and also in Jesus, where he's telling you, he's referring right to this particular scripture as being the Holy Spirit, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit that lives in people and that it's coming down from the throne of God and issuing out of people. And he refers only to the Scripture. There's no other place in the Bible that it refers to when he's talking about that it's in the Scriptures of this particular, what he's talking about here is the Holy Spirit. Amen. This living rivers of life, river of water coming from the throne of God, from the house of God. Then what?
And go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Engileam, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many.
Okay, now this is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So it's not talking about making fish happier and living forever, or animals, or vegetation along the shore. It's talking about the rivers of life, and Jesus said, be fishers of men. Amen. It's talking about those kind of fish. Okay, let's get it back into it.
Who is the temple and who dwells in it? Revelation 22, 1 and 2.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations.
Can you read that again?
And he showed me a pure river of waters of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
It's coming right down from the throne of God and the Lamb into the temple of the Lord. And who is the temple again? Us. Amen. Okay, then what?
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits.
So in every person there is one of these tree of lives. This is the word of God. Amen. Okay, then what?
And yielded her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Then why not? It comes right from the throne of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's not by power of might, but by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's coming right down from the throne of God. That's the source of it. So people shouldn't be like John the Baptist and be ashamed to say that the throne from the throne of God, the Holy Spirit, is in your body. And that the tree of life is in there. It's symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
And he showed me a river of water of life, sparkling like crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its broad avenue, and on this side and on that side of the river, was a tree of life bearing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the health of the nations.
Yeah, so if this were up in the kingdom of heaven, what would the nations need help for up there? Once you're in there, you're in. Amen?
Amen.
So it would be something that is occurring here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Well, just read the verse after that in the King James.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne...
There shall be no more curse when the Lord is in you. You won't be cursed by him anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it.
Shall be in you. Whoa! Amen?
Amen?
There's not going to be any curse if the throne of God's in you, is it?
No.
And in order for the throne of God to be in you, you have to let him sit in that throne. Amen?
Amen?
You can't let Satan sit there anymore. Dethrone him. Read that again. That thrilled me.
But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it.
Go ahead.
And his servants shall serve him.
And his servants shall serve him. Why? Are we going to serve him? What good will it be to serve him up in the kingdom of God? We're serving him here. Amen?
Amen.
His servants will serve him. Right?
Amen.
Well, that's nice to know that it's occurring now. This river of life coming down, issuing right from the throne, coming into the temple of God where he lives right now. Amen?
Amen?
Where the throne is, where God the Father and God the Son is sitting. Amen?
Amen?
And let's not let anything or anybody dethrone that God the Father and God the Son there, because if we're true servants, we will serve him as he requires. Amen?
Amen.
So we're resurrected now. This is the kingdom age. He's reigning in us. The throne's in there. He's not going to take that throne out of us and move it into some man-made temple over in Jerusalem where that bunch of people are signing the peace pact with the Arabs and the one world government and church. He's in faithful servants with his throne. Amen? And there's no bloody sacrifices going on there, except possibly we might be a bloody sacrifice ourselves. Amen? But the Lord is with us and we'll never die. Amen? We just go from one form of existence to another one, much higher one. We never die. I mean, people of the Lord think nothing of death. Amen? It's a joke. Okay, then what?
When we read of the millennium, we see this is the fulfillment of what this is all about.
This is the fulfillment of the millennium. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if he's living in us now, if God the Father and God the Son are sitting on the throne in us, and the tree of life is there, and the river of living waters is there, what more do you want? Amen? And you must be resurrected sitting in thrones with him, serving him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
The river of the water of life that comes out of the temple. This passage says,
and he showed me a pure river of water of life.
Let's read it again. Amen. Won't hurt, will it? Go ahead.
Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
What point would there be to heal the nations once the nations are in hell? There can't be healed anymore. Or what point if they're up there in the kingdom of heaven? It's all over with then, you know. Glory, glory, hallelujah when we lay our burdens down. Amen? Work is over. This is talking about work, but the Lord doing the work, amen, in us. And us being obedient to do the work in him. In him, in us, amen? Then what?
This is the fulfillment of this prophecy, Ezekiel 47. And it is coming from the throne of God. Out of the throne of God, Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse.
But that's it. There's no more curse. If God is with you, who could be against you? Do you think he's going to curse you if you're letting him reign on the throne in your heart?
No.
No, so there's no more curse. Do you think you get saved when you go up to the kingdom of heaven? You better be saved before you get up there. Or you're not going to get there at all. We're saved now. We have eternal life right this minute. Amen? Get that through your heart and your head too. Praise the Lord. Then what?
But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
Praise God. If they're really his servants, they're going to get up and go to work for him. Just like we were talking about last night. Amen? You're going to pay attention to people. You don't want some of God's servants to fall away and die, or their children to crawl up on ladders and fall off, or anything wrong to happen to anybody, because you've got the love of Christ in you. Amen? You care about one another. Why? Because he cares for you. Amen? First, then what?
What is God talking about? This is the river of living water coming out of the temple. What is the temple? The temple is the child of God and the total combination of the church they make up.
And the total combination of all the people in the church that make up God's temple. We're the temple of God. It plainly states that over and over and over again in the scriptures. That which was in the Old Testament just symbolized us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Then what?
The temple is the child of God and the total combination of the church. They make up the habitation of God.
We make up the habitation, the living place of the living God. He stands and knocks at the door of our heart. And anyone that will open, he'll come in and sup with you and his Father too. Amen? And they'll habitate there. And they'll be in our midst, right in the middle of us, inside. Amen? In the midst of us. That's better than being, you know, where it's just a pillar of cloud up above or some fire up above there. He's living in that. He's inside. Amen?
Amen.
That's closer. Then what?
John 7:37 and 38. Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said.
As the Scripture hath said. Where did it say that? Ezekiel 47. Remember, he's quoting it now. This isn't just some Tom, Dick, or Harry. This is Jesus saying, as the Scripture hath said, what?
Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Ooh. Out of that temple. Amen? Okay, then what?
Jesus said, as the Scripture hath said. As the Scripture hath said. Where did the Scripture say that? Where in the Old Testament does it say that water comes out of the belly, or the body of the child of God? The only place is in Ezekiel 47, where it says, out of the temple,
out of us, then what?
Out of the sanctuary came this river of living water. And Jesus is applying this to, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What is he talking about in verse 39? But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him...
Okay, now here it explains what he's talking about. This, go ahead and say it.
But this spake he of the Spirit.
This he spake of the Holy Spirit, and us as the temple. Not some building in Jerusalem that Jesus is going to sit down in person, physically, visibly, to where he's going to reign 1,000 years. He's reigning in us now. Indeed, ever since you said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and decided that you're going to let him reign in your heart. And if you haven't been, you better, you know, start getting the picture of what's really going on in heaven and in us, amen? And start straightening and adjusting everything out the way he wants.
But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
He was not yet glorified. What does that mean? Well, he hadn't gone to his death yet. When he did, everyone scattered. They didn't glorify Jesus, did they, by scattering? No. But when he raised from the dead, they glorified God, didn't they? They'd go through anything for him, and after they saw him raised from the dead, and then on top of that, see him around for 40 days, and you see people resurrect right with him out of the graves, with many graves were open. They walked around town, all these people. And then they saw Jesus raise up into the kingdom of God in a cloud. Well, after that, you know, everything he said, for sure you believe then, right? If you see anybody raised up into the kingdom of God, you're more likely to believe what they say then, you know, after you've seen him dead and then raise up from the dead and then raise up into heaven. You know, that's God. Amen, for sure. Then what?
What the water is that flows, the Scripture plainly states, is the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said. So when you add Ezekiel 47 and Revelation 22, is clearly seen, either way you see the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God through the temple. This is the Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking about. These are literally spiritual meanings of actual spiritual moves of God. John 4, 7, 9 through 10, Jesus said, give me to drink.
And he's talking to the woman at the well, so the woman of Samaria. He's asked her, give me to drink. And she says, why is it that you're a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan? You Jews don't have any dealings with us. Okay, but we're just paraphrasing here. Go ahead.
And she said, why are you talking to me? I am a Samaritan and you are a Jew. Jesus, the same as said, woman, you're not knowledgeable to what life is all about. If you had known who it is that is talking with you, you would have asked of him, and I would have given you, what? Living water. At the end of the day, she received the living water, salvation, forgiveness of sins, spiritual things. This is what the river of water of life is. It is the Holy Spirit, a pure life, from total forgiveness of your former sins and constant forgiveness of daily sins of ignorance.
By participating in the tabernacle services above and letting the Holy Spirit flow, so that the Holy Spirit will still flow, the river of life will still flow through your vessel every day, so that whenever there is a witness that comes your way, that the belly or your being, from your very being, uttermost being, the Lord will bring up from the, like a fountain out of your mouth, the proper things to say to those that need to be witnessed to,
or if you're in a court scene, to where the proper things that you need to say, that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and direct you as to what to say and what not to say. Okay, then what?
It is being always in the process of staying saved.
Staying with the process of the... you don't want to dam up that river of life, to block it up, to block that course of life that comes from the throne, because the Lord will not pour out that life unto you if you're not constantly covering yourself and constantly striving to do His work. He said His servants will serve Him if you're not constantly looking for something to serve Him with. And one of the things I remember when I first got saved is I wasn't even saved. Take that back. I go back to where He just threatened me in that office, and I just said, I know you're there. Just show me. It's something to do before I die. I just want to do something before I die. I got to know that I've done something good. And I didn't. It took me a long time to find out the direction of what it was that the Lord wanted people to do. And now that we know what He wants us to do, well, how much more do we need to just go and do it? Amen? His servants will serve Him. They serve Him because His throne is in them. And they're not going to let any being, any spiritual being or any physical being, dethrone Him off of that throne. The Father or the Son or the Holy River of the Spirit of God moving through you. He wants to channel that river through us unto the world. Okay, then go ahead.
It is being always in the process of staying saved, always drinking the living water. This is the life we have in Jesus. And it flows through the temple from the very presence of God and His throne. This does not mean there will be a temple in Jerusalem during 1,000 years. It has nothing to do with making fish, animals, or grass grow and live longer. But the millennium pass of Scripture does not mention the second coming of Jesus, or Him personally, visibly reigning on earth.
Nowhere in that scripture does it say the second coming of Christ. Yes, He's coming the second time, but not in that scripture. It's talking about something else. Amen? It's talking about this river of life, of the things that we're doing now, Him reigning with us in our bodies now, not coming down here physically. He's working through us by the Spirit, through His Spirit. Okay, then what?
The millennium pass of Scripture does not mention the second coming of Jesus or Him personally, visibly reigning on earth. Only reigning with Christ, but not on earth, personally, visibly, in person. This pass has no mention of Jerusalem.
There's no place that says it's going to happen in Jerusalem. It's all over the world. Whosoever will, then what?
This pass mentions no temple in or out of Jerusalem. This pass mentions no sacrifices. This pass does not mention the Jews. The false teachers always stress these above mentioned, but the Bible doesn't. And that the Jews will have dominion over the world is false. This is meant Israel, the body of Christ.
There's a lot of difference between a Jew and Israel. Okay, then what?
Why bother listening to such teachings when the Bible doesn't teach any such thing? Thrones and judgment. 12 of these are the apostles. Matthew 19:27-28.
Right, if you want to know who's up there judging, read in the Bible, it tells you. I can receive what the Bible says, but I want to hear what these false teachers say. Go ahead.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration which the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye
are... The throne of His glory in the regeneration, when He regenerates you, then He sits in the throne of His glory. It's glorifying to Him when people do what He says. Amen? That's the only thing that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today, is when they see people that are not just espousing the Word, but are doing and are willing to die or live and die for whatever He tells us to do. Go ahead.
Ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay, you will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the... You're going to judge Israel. Israel's not going to judge you. You're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel that fell away. We're not going to be back there under world dominion of the Jews. The Bible doesn't teach anything as that. But that the remnant will rule the world. Amen? Israel, true Israel. Then what?
The recreation of the social order and renewing of the earth.
But of course it'll be Christ, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Israel that will be doing the ruling. we'll agree with him 100%. The servants will serve him and rule with him and let him rule. Then what?
All power in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus.
Right, so already he has the power. And of those that are going to reign on earth, he has all power through them too. He's wielding his power through us, his power to save. Okay, then what?
There is no more power than that.
There's no more power than all power. If he wields all power in heaven and earth, there's no where else is power? Amen? There isn't any more. So if he's in us, then we're reigning now. In other words, and if that's so, we're in the kingdom age. Amen? All right, then what?
Hebrews 10:13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
So he's right there on the right hand of God, and from that point on, since he took his place there, he's expecting all his enemies to be his footstool, right? He just expects it. Well, because he has all power, why shouldn't he expect it? If I had all power over heaven and earth, well, then he'd expect anything that he wants to happen, and it's going to happen. Then what?
Acts 2:34-35. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool.
Okay, then what?
Jesus rules in heaven and on earth tonight, and we are now in the kingdom age.
Right.
The apostles judged the 12 tribes of Israel. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him.
Right. People wonder, well, I mean, is it just going to be the 12 apostles or disciples of the Lord? No. If we, whosoever suffers with him, we'll reign with him too. Amen? We'll reign with him now. He's reigning in us, isn't he? He's never lost yet. He's used to winning all the time. So the devil doesn't have a chance, does he? Just have faith. Believe. Doesn't make any difference if you're at the Red Sea. Just have faith that it'll open. And what?
What does it mean to reign with Jesus?
1 Corinthians 6:1-3. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?
That's what it means to reign. We saints that suffer in him shall do what? Judge the world. That's reigning, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you got all these different judgments. Here's the apostles judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and then we're judging the world. Amen. Okay. Then what?
And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
Right. The world and angels. So we can judge the things by the Word of God that's happening in this world, okay? You might be getting a little tired of this message now, but, you know, you can listen to it at intervals on the tape. We just want to get it down here before we leave town. Then what?
2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
That's what it means to reign with Christ, because we're going to judge all these powers and principalities of evil and darkness. That's what it means to reign with Christ. Yes, that's what it means, all right. Okay, then what?
Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day.
Yes, and we'll be judging them. That's what it means to reign in Christ, with Christ. So that's partial of what it means. Amen? Then what?
Psalms 50:10. For if every beast of the forest is mine, for the cattle upon 1,000 hills.
And you know, in that scripture it says 1,000 hills, but if you look in the Hebrew and the Greek, how do they pronounce that Greek Old Testament?
Septuagint.
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 Okay.
Septuagint, yeah.
It sounds like a toothpaste or something. You will see in there that it doesn't say 8,000 hills. It says the hills, all the hills. He owns the cattle on the hills. It doesn't say 1,000 hills in the original Hebrew and the Septuagint.
Revelation 25. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Right, and so this takes a while to explain because it's talking about the first resurrection, and it happens when you first are resurrected. And it talks about those that have died before you that are resurrected now in Christ. And it talks about a multitude of different resurrections that when a person dies, they just go on to be with the Lord. And those that are reigning with him now, that's the first resurrection. And those, then what was it saying there again?
But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished.
Until the judgment day. Okay, because we're not dead. We never die, those that are in the Lord. That's what the Bible says. We'll read that. Okay, go ahead.
The apostles judging Israel, souls reigning with Christ.
This is all part of that millennium. The ones that got slaughtered before, the souls reigning now with Christ up there in the kingdom of heaven and here now, those that will come back with him. It's a series of all different ages of people that is talking about here that are resurrected already. And we are too. This is the beginning of it, of resurrection. We're resurrected now. And then, of course, there's different stages of it. Some have already, their bodies have gone on. I mean, they've dissolved, and yet they're still reigning with him now. Amen? Okay, go ahead.
Others who suffer for Jesus, reigning with him, and this living with Christ is called the first resurrection. The gospel millennium began at regeneration or conversion. Ephesians 2:1, Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." In other words, God has resurrected you out of spiritual death into spiritual life, and you had a beginning of spiritual life, eternal life. "Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved."
And so we have to conquer our own flesh and become more spiritual, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you have to be eager to hear and be quickened by the Spirit, and let that flesh, let it die, because it's not going to inherit the kingdom of God anyway. Then what?
Quote, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 2:5-6. John 11:25-26. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live."
Amen? Amen.
"And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." God resurrects us spiritually when we are converted and brings us out of spiritual death. Is not really death. We simply pass from one stage of existence to another. We leave this world of trouble into heaven with Jesus. Death means nothing to the child of God. We simply move to higher ground. This happens when the first resurrection begins.
Well, we just finished on time. Amen? Okay, well, this message, did it make more, get closer to you this time than it did the first time, because we added more to it. Amen? And it's still not done. I'll probably have to do it again. But I've got much more. There's much more in the scriptures regarding this, but time doesn't allow tonight. But there's enough there to know that you're resurrected from the dead. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the first resurrection. Lord, your children, your servants will serve you and no other. Your sheep hear your voice, and neither will they not follow. Lord, we thank you for this river of life, for this, because this river of life has touched us, and we know that anyone that we're witnessing to, whenever it touches people, when they receive these living waters, they're going to have life. The river of life will go forth through them also. And that's why it's such a horrible sin for us not to issue from us the word of God. In this wicked and perverse generation, Lord, we need to get out and get busy for you, and not to forget, not to have somebody to urge us or nudge us each day to get out and start doing something for you, but to be self-starters and go-getters, to go out and get the souls that you died for. And Lord, we need to keep ourselves covered in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, even sins, especially these sins of ignorance that we didn't realize, and of course we don't knowingly commit sin, because we know that those that know to do good and they do it not, to them this is sin. And Lord, the soul that sins shall surely die. Lord, open the windows of heaven, forgive. Wash away, Lord and Master, and let these scriptures be quickened into our minds and our hearts and souls, that we sin no more. Lord, that you be dethroned from off of the throne within our mortal bodies. We are the temple of God, and you are God, and you are the God of our temple. You, Father God, and you, Lord Jesus, and Lord, river of life that flows through us. Let us keep ourselves holy, for you are holy. And Lord, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. And we belong to you, and you paid for us. Praise the Lord. Lord, your will be done. Glorify yourself through us, Lord and Master. Thy will, Lord and God. Glorify thyself in us, O Lord and God, in the name of Jesus. We'll give you the praise, the honor, the glory, the thanks in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed.